Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 8. Who would like to read the Sanskrit? Read the translation? Okay. I'll read the word for word. Atta. Translation. Sometimes the conditioned soul is absorbed in finding residential quarters or apartments and getting a supply of water and riches to maintain his body. Absorbed in acquiring a variety of necessities, he forgets everything and perpetually runs around the forest of material existence. Please repeat. Sometimes the conditioned soul is absorbed in purport by Srila Prabhupada. As originally mentioned, a poor man belonging to the mercantile community goes to the forest to get some cheap goods to bring back to the city and sell at a profit. He is so absorbed in the thought of maintaining body and soul together that he forgets his original relationship with Krishna and seeks only the bodily comforts. Thus, material activities are the conditioned soul's only engagement. Not knowing the aim of life, the materialist perpetually wanders in material existence, struggling to get the necessities of life. Not understanding the aim of life, even though he acquires sufficient necessities, he manufactures artificial necessities and thus becomes more and more entangled. He creates a mental situation whereby he needs greater and greater comforts. The materialist does not know the secret of nature's ways. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara virudmatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. Due to lusty desire, the living entity creates a certain mental situation whereby he wants to enjoy this material world. Thus he becomes entangled, enters different bodies, and suffers in them. So we're continuing to describe the unfortunate condition of the conditioned souls. And we can see very clearly that modern society 100% supports this activity of running around and trying to maintain the body in any way possible and trying to get riches to maintain that body. The whole educational system is geared to finding an occupation that will earn you as much money as possible. And therefore, people are very much absorbed in their educational activities, not remembering the source of consciousness, the source of their life, which is the spirit soul. I remember flying to India it was December 1970. I had done a couple of articles on the movement on ISKCON. I was coming to India to find Srila Prabhupada and the devotees to continue my photography. I had Bhagavad Gita, and I was reading Bhagavad Gita on the airplane. And I had the very strong realization that I absolutely knew nothing, that my knowledge was very meager. At the most, I had some little material knowledge and some skills. But my my major study was history. And I had really no aptitude for that. My father was a history professor, so I followed in his footsteps. But actually, I was more inclined to artistic endeavor. So the realization was that I knew absolutely nothing. In our Ukraine film, there's also one interview with one Mataji there, the wife of the airplane pilot. And she said she had so many skills and so much knowledge, but after reading Bhagavad Gita, she realized she knew nothing. So this is the sad condition of the young man and young women coming out of college, that they think they know something to prepare them for life, but it may have prepared them for material life, but has nothing to do with spiritual life. And therefore, their knowledge is very, very meager and nil. So I find very, very, this verse is very applicable to myself. I find myself, you know, running after material objects here and there, trying to find apartments, not only one apartment, but several apartments. So please forgive my lack of realization and knowledge, but at least I can speak a little bit on the tendency of the conditioned soul to run here and there. In the verse it says, the conditioned soul who's absorbed, he's absorbed in acquiring a variety of necessities and forgets everything and perpetually runs around the forest of material existence. So later on we'll hear in this section how the conditioned soul sometimes becomes frustrated in that search. And he tries to find some relief. And sometimes he comes in contact with bogus spiritualists, bogus yogis, and gurus. If you've ever been to the West and watched television at all, maybe turned the channels, on Sunday especially, there are many Christian preachers, and they're very much into sometimes healing people as if by magic. That causes a great impression in the minds of innocent people. And also they're very much into praying for material necessities. And they bring people up and they have them pray for some material opulence. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they come back and give testimonials. So that increases the fame and the prestige of that particular preacher. Srila Prabhupada in the early days in New York was once on a radio show. And there's a very well-known preacher who was speaking with Srila Prabhupada who invited him on the show. And there were people calling in, and so the preacher was asking, well, what do you pray for? What do you pray to God for? And they were saying, well, a fancy car, a new house, education for my children, on and on and on, all material. One caller after another, you know, all material items they were praying for. So at one point, the preacher turned to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Swamiji, let me ask you, what do you pray to God for? And the answer Srila Prabhupada gave was, I pray for his love. Which completely was totally opposite of what the preacher was thinking he would ask for. So this is this is our prayer, that we become attached to Krishna, that we love Krishna. And this is really in one sense, the only thing we have is our desire. In this verse, actually quoted in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives, he says, the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. So this makes us think, how much independence and how much freedom does the soul actually have? According to this verse, it doesn't have much. That the three modes of material nature are dictating to the living entity what to do now, what to do in this situation, that situation. So in the past and the future, the three modes of material nature are controlling our lives. So maybe we can think about how much independence we actually have. If there's any discussion at the end of the class, I'd like to hear some opinions. Some devotees say that we actually have no independence, that we have minute independence in deciding whether we want to be in the spiritual world or try to enjoy in the material world. And at that point, once we decide, then everything else is taken care of. Another idea, actually Hridayananda Maharaj gave this analogy, that we're in an airplane, we've purchased a ticket, we're going to a certain destination, and we really can't turn back. The airplane's going to take us there, unless it crashes, but we don't think about that. We've purchased a ticket, say, from Los Angeles to New York. So the airplane is going to deliver us in New York. We have no choice once we get on the airplane. But in the airplane, we have a choice of what we can do. We can walk around the cabin. We can read magazines. We can drink the wine they offer in the car. Or we could take the 7-Up, or we could take the juice. So many varieties of choices are there. So this is also one idea. I was looking in Bhagavad Gita, looking for other verses that are similar to this verse that Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport. And actually in chapter 5, text 8 and 9, the translation is, a person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. So this is another instance of Krishna stating our dependence in our conditioned state. Another verse in the fifth chapter, text 14, the embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. So there's another verse that substantiates the idea that we have very little independence. Another verse from the 13th chapter. Text 28. One who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within its destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. Actually, that wasn't the verse I was thinking of. It's text 30. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. Did anyone think of any other verses? Hmm?
827?
Yeah, we quoted that already from the purport. Chapter 14, text 19. When one properly sees it in all activities, no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows that the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. There's a lot. In chapter 18, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridishe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudrani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So there's so many references in Bhagavad Gita how we are not the doer, we are not the controller. And there's that story that Radhana Swami mentioned the other on Sunday about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Prabhupada at one point, when he was reading his report, said, "You are not the controller, you're not the doer." But what was the exact... He said, "Krishna is the controller? Is the doer. Krishna is the doer." There's a similar story by Brahmatirtha Prabhu. He's Bob Cohen in the conversations, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. So he was taken to Srila Prabhupada every day, and they had some very wonderful conversations, which were later put in a book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. The next time he saw Srila Prabhupada was in New York, and he was thinking... Actually, I think Prabhupada embraced him at one point. So he was thinking, next time I see Srila Prabhupada, he's going to do the same thing. And the next time he saw Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada came in the door, and Brahmatirtha paid obeisances. And Prabhupada looked at him and looked right through him and walked on. So he was feeling some pride, actually. So Prabhupada could at every moment notice that in his disciples. He could tell. We couldn't get away with anything. So this is the difficulty with a conditioned soul, that we think that we're the doer, that we're responsible for our own activities, that we're very proficient, we have great ability. And once we think this, any kind of transcendental feeling simply disappears. It vanishes immediately, because that is our consciousness. And we are striving for Krishna consciousness. It is a very subtle thing. It is not easy to maintain, because at 1 second we can be thinking of Krishna, the next moment be in Maya. So it is a very great science how to control the mind, how to control how to become Krishna conscious. It is not an easy task. Srila Prabhupada many times in his books talks about Krishna consciousness as a gradual system, a gradual process. We shouldn't expect something very quick. We've been chanting Hare Krishna for over 30 years, and still I feel like I'm a very new devotee, truthfully. It is a process that may take many lifetimes. And sometimes when a new devotee thinks he's going to get quick results, there's disappointment, and he leaves. He or she may leave. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has many times mentioned that this is a gradual process. And one of the most important items in devotional service is patience. If we don't have patience, then it becomes difficult. Patience, enthusiasm, and determination. These three are very, very important. But the end result is so wonderful that we should be very, very patient. We should be prepared to wait hundreds and thousands of lifetimes for this wonderful result, and that is to be in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is worth waiting innumerable lifetimes. What to speak of one lifetime in this body. We should never become disappointed. Prabhupada gives the example many times of a young child learning to walk. How many times will a little child fall in the course of learning how to walk? Maybe 100, 200? How many? You know, many, many times. But it never thinks, let me give up. Does he? Even a little child learning how to walk, he never thinks, I'm going to give up. So we should also be like that child in our determination to become Krishna conscious. We should never give up. Not possible. That's not an option. So this verse, this section of Bhagavatam is describing very clearly the unfortunate, extremely unfortunate position of the conditioned soul, not understanding the aim of life, simply wandering here and there in the forest of material enjoyment and suffering like anything. There actually is no happiness in the material world. The happiness we think is happiness is relief from suffering. Just like the man in the dunking chair. His happiness is being raised and getting a breath. But we breathe all the time. You know, we're breathing continually. So what kind of happiness is that? It's simply relative happiness. So our so-called happiness in material life is also relative. It's relative to our experience of happiness. And our experience of happiness is getting some new toy or new machine or new house or new this or that. And we become happy for some time and then it becomes old and it disintegrates and gives us trouble. So that's the nature of happiness in this material life. And sometimes there is happiness in relationships, extreme happiness with lover or wife or husband, sons, daughters. But what is the end result of that? Suffering. Because that relationship has to break. It has to end. So what kind of future is it in material life? There's no future. None at all. The greatest happiness we can have in the material world is relationships with one another. But that has to end. Material relationships always end. Sometimes by accident, some horrible car crash. Just imagine the grief. Many times it's not possible for the mother or father or husband or wife to live after the partner dies. There's there's studies done that sometimes they commit suicide or sometimes they're so brokenhearted they just wither away and die. I have some personal experience of that. So we should have no hope, be totally pessimistic about material life, and be totally optimistic and hopeful about spiritual life. And continue on in this Krishna conscious movement. And make ourselves happy, make others happy, make our Guru Maharaj happy and Sri Krishna also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments on this idea of independence? Yes. Anyone?
Hare Krishna.
Except for the minute independence of deciding to enjoy separate from Krishna or in association with Krishna. So who thinks we have some independence? Can you comment on that?
What I've understood that the independence is always there. If there was no independence, then you would be eternally condemned. So that's Krishna's mercy that every time he's giving us a choice to make a right decision. Even if we have lived, that's what in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains, apichetas. What is that? Apichetasi papebhya sarvebhya papakrittama. That even if you are the most sinful of the sinner, but if you sit on the transcendental boat of knowledge, then we can cross over. So it doesn't matter what is our background, but it matters our immediate present decision so that we are relieved from the previous sinful activities. So therefore, every second we have a choice to make and rectify our wrong decisions. I think that's Krishna's kindness upon us.
Baldev Vidyabhushan gives this argument that the very fact that scripture exists is a proof that there has to be some independence. Otherwise, there is no logic for scripture to exist because it is assumed that there is a choice. So the entire Vedic scripture's existence is a proof that the jiva has a free will, and therefore the Lord is trying to convince him to take a certain decision. Otherwise, if everything is pre-programmed, then there is no need for any instructions to be given, because a person cannot come out of this cycle at all.
So it seems like it comes down to desire, doesn't it? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to say the same thing. You've given the answer in the class. Actually, it is our desire for the future. Prabhupada gives one example. He gives that example of the fan. So you take out the plug. It appears that we don't have any actual real chance to change our life so immediately in our consciousness. But what you said, but we can pray and we can have the desire. And then so eventually... maybe at a very late point, the Lord does change. I don't really think that we are changing besides our consciousness towards the Lord. I don't think it's like we don't see that somebody just disappears because his material desires are finished. We all keep sitting here and kind of remaining our characters. But I do think you said that in class, the desire, we have the desire, and one day the Lord will actually fulfill that desire that we can actually stop our material, whatever entanglements, my personal.
Thank you. One.
Hare Krishna. I had heard this from His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami Maharaj when we were in Mayapur, that Krishna is the supreme controller. So if the jiva has independence, then how can Krishna be the complete controller? There is something lacking in his control. So he was explaining that we do have independence, but even if we are able to act within this world, we act based on our desire which is attracted by Krishna's opulence. If somebody is desiring to act because of seeing some sunrise, so he was explaining that the beauty of the sunrise is ultimately coming from Krishna. So even though we have independence, the activities which we perform are ultimately attracted by Krishna. So Krishna still remains the supreme controller. And Govindpuru was telling the other day about Krishna's instructions in the fourth chapter, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvatah. So we have a choice to either see Krishna's pastimes and appreciate his activities, because his activities are transcendental, then we race to the transcendental platform, then we become transcendental, or we come back to the material consciousness. So we do have independence to choose, but still Krishna remains the supreme controller, because however we choose, we are choosing being attracted by Krishna only. Hare Krishna.
In the introduction to Krishna book, George Harrison writes that everybody's looking for Krishna. Some know it and some don't. So everybody's attracted by the opulence, as you say, of Krishna in one way or the other. But he will.
Another thing I heard about independence is that the more we become conditioned by the modes of material nature, the independence reduces to that level. Just like give the example of a person in the flight. When he is in the airport, he has more choices to make. So the independence is becoming expanded when we are in the mode of goodness. But the more we come down by doing sinful activities, getting entangled ourselves, the independence is getting much and more and more reduced. So the lower species of life, for them, independence is whether to eat this food or that food. Or for a criminal, his independence is in the jail. He can just break stone, or he can, you know, go to another part of the jail. He cannot come out. So the more we elevate ourselves from the lower modes, the independence becoming more and more, you know, expanded. So finally, the real independence comes when we elevate ourselves to the level of Krishna consciousness. That is ultimate independence, where the soul is completely free to do anything and everything. Till then, our independence is slowly, slowly getting curbed by the modes of nature.
Anyone else? So it seems like we have an understanding that desire plays is the main. Through our desire, we can act. By our desire, we act in certain ways. And there's that painting in Bhagavad Gita. The spiritual world is there, the material world is below, and there's a line. It's labeled desire. So by our desire, we can go up or down to the spiritual world or remain here in the material world. So everything is really based on desire. And by that desire, we act in certain ways. By our desire to become Krishna conscious, we follow the four principles. We chant 16 rounds. We associate with devotees. So many activities throughout the day. There are choices that we can make to further that desire or diminish that desire. So anything favorable, we should accept, and unfavorable, we should reject. And that's based on our desire. So association with devotees is extremely important to increase that desire. Because we, with the association of advanced devotees, that gives us impetus and that gives us hope that we can come up to that same standard. Srila Prabhupada, just further comment here. Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about creating a mental situation whereby the conditioned soul feels he needs greater and greater comforts. This is the goal of the modern economy, is to increase those artificial desires more and more. The whole advertising business is built on increasing consumption. And when a new product comes out, to make people think that this is what they need. And when people get that, they become a little, have a feeling of satisfaction, a mental feeling of satisfaction, and you can call it happiness. But it's not real happiness. It's simply fulfilling a material desire, and this does not lead to happiness. So everything that's going on is based on increasing our material desires and fixing us more firmly in our conditioned state. Very, very dangerous place. Very dangerous. I remember one devotee, he was the president of one of the temples in America, and I saw him in front of the temple in Los Angeles, I believe it was 1977 or 78. And he was going off to do, he was leaving his position as president to go off and do real estate, become a real estate salesman and make his fortune in real estate. And he told me, I want to make my fortune and give it to Krishna. This is my desire. So I phoned him the other day in his high-rise office building. He owns the office building, and he wouldn't return my call. And he's had a very difficult time. He's a multi-millionaire, but he didn't remember Krishna, and he never gave to Krishna. Not that he's lost. Nothing is ever lost in spiritual life. We shouldn't reject people like that. We should always encourage everyone in their Krishna consciousness. So there's some signs that he may come back, may become favorable again. But this is just a personal illustration of the dangers of association in the outside world. We may have good intentions, but we have to be very careful and always, you know, maintain our vows, because there's every chance that we may, by association, improper association, slip and fall. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I'm not a scholar, but I have some tiny realization after so long. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.